And welcome to My Xbox and Me, episode 458. I'm pretty sure it's 459, but I don't want to argue with Despawn this week. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Mr. Too Fresh Crash himself. Crash, hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. How are you doing, Fix?
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's been like out when the tables turn.
That doesn't happen often. I feel very honored today. I feel very special. Mm. I feel good today. Thank you very much for asking, Crash. Thank you very much for asking. It means a lot. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
That's not the reaction I wanted to get, I'll be honest with you.
I've got something that I want to show you, Crash, which I think you will be highly offended to. Even though you probably have just never noticed it before, and because I have only just put it back in for the first time in maybe 6 years? Something like that. But, okay. You ready?
Yeah. Why would I be offended to that?
I don't know. I just felt like you'd be a guy that would be against earrings.
No. Why would I? I don't know where that energy came from. I wouldn't be against that.
I'm trying to get, I want to get my other one done again. I don't like having, I've got one done. I don't like just the one. I want to have both done. Yeah, that's my life right now. Thank you for asking, Chris. I appreciate it. And only... Cool. Mr. Paul Despawn, hello, how are you?
Hello, Crash, how are you?
I don't like this. I don't like this. Like, we got past me. Why are we going back to me?
No, we're back to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. How are you doing, Despawn?
I'm good. Okay. I'm excited for another week of talking video games, as always.
We went from not speaking. It felt like we hadn't spoken a lot, and then we've now spoken a lot already this week, which is too much for me. So can we just get this over and done with so we don't have to talk again for another few days, please?
Wow.
Oh, no, wow. I'm sorry.
That was very rude. I have feelings, damn it.
Yeah, whatever. Remember, you can support us over on patreon.com/mcfixer. Help us keep the lights on, help us keep the show growing. Also, you can find us on all podcast services. Go hit the subscribe button on YouTube. I know that there are some of you watching this or listening to this via podcast service and you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel. It takes 2 seconds. Go and hit the subscribe button, please. Shout out to our Patreon producer, Aaron God. We do appreciate you, sir. And of course, 12-hour stream is happening April 27th. We have got a bunch of games planned, a bunch of shenanigans happening, and we are looking forward to hanging out with the community for 12 hours as we try to raise money for all things MXAM, My Xbox and Me, and beyond, I guess. I have to say it. You know how it is. Yeah. Topic of the show this week, boys. Star Wars Outlaws story trailer just debuted, literally just before we've gone live with the podcast. Let's get initial reactions from everybody. Crash, we'll start with you. Me and you are not the Star Wars guys. Yeah. We say this every week. Star Wars isn't our wheelhouse, unlike some other people on the show. Despawn, we see you, Despawn. We see you.
Okay. Just making sure I'm seen.
What did you think? What did you think of what you're seeing?
I liked it as a story setup, to be honest with you. I think it's probably the most interested I've been in this game. But then the moment, there's a moment in the trailer where, what's the guy's name? Despawn? From the movies that shows up?
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
No, no idea. I've watched the trailer once.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You mentioned him. The slave guy.
Oh, Jabba.
Jabba, yeah. Oh, Jabba shows up. Okay. Yeah.
Yo, Crash, all right. That's just as bad as calling the fucking locust an alien, bro. Jabba the Hutt's not a guy.
He's a male.
He's a Hutt.
No. He's a male.
I mean, well, technically, I don't know if we know their sexes.
The fact that you're expecting Despawn to get the guy that shows up from the movies.
He's the only one from the movie as far as I'm aware in the game. If anybody else is from the movies, I do not recognize them.
No, that's not true.
I don't.
Okay. Sure. Anyway, look.
I mean, Han Solo technically shows up.
Aliens. I'm just, you know, whatever. Yeah, as soon as I saw that, it pulled me immediately out of it. And I'm like, this is still Star Wars and I don't think I really care. To be honest.
Wait, just because you saw Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah, because like I was into it with the story stuff, right? And they were selling me and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I got reminded it was Star Wars once Jabba the Hutt showed up. Essentially is what it is. I'm like, I don't like Star Wars.
So wait, let me get this straight. The spaceships, the pew-pew-pews.
Yeah, I was fine with all of it.
You know, all of that stuff.
I was fine with it. Yeah.
But Jabba the Hutt, that was your problem.
Yeah, because it's very specific. Like, I don't like Star Wars. I like Mass Effect, right? I can like sci-fi things and be fine with it. And so I was watching it and I was like, it's sci-fi. I'm not really into sci-fi, but the story stuff seems cool to me. And then I saw Jabba the Hutt and it's like, it's not just story stuff and it's not just sci-fi. It's Star Wars. I don't know if that makes sense. That might not make sense. But that's how it went through internally in my head.
So what I'm hearing is...
does that make sense to you?
No, what I'm hearing is that Kresh doesn't want Star Wars in his Star Wars stories, which is wild to me.
Well,
basically, yeah. I don't want Star Wars in my Star Wars stories.
I mean, I'm hyped for this. I've always enjoyed the stories in Star Wars where it's not typically the Jedis and the Siths. I like them when they actually explore the world, like the first season of Mandalorian and things like that, like where it's actually just playing with these side characters and like doing something different within that universe. And I think this does a really good job of selling that to me. Like, I love a good heist story. Like, we saw how great that was in Rogue One. And yeah, if they do this well and like it looks like some of the cool stealth elements are in there, I'm 100% down for this. I can't wait.
I'm interested. I'm probably more with Kresh than I care to agree with. Not Jabba the Hutt. I want to make that very clear. But yeah, it's really hard to talk on a franchise that you don't really care about, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to always come across speaking very stupidly, which is what I feel like anytime we speak about Star Wars, me and Kresh come across, like, unfortunately.
Oh, 100%.
I did it again. The last Star Wars game I enjoyed was Jedi Fallen Order, which was that was a sequel, right?
No, Jedi Fallen Order is the first one. It's Survivor. Okay, it's the second one.
Perfect. Thank you. So that was the last Star Wars game that I played and enjoyed. I think I will enjoy this, but not for the same reasons as which probably 99% of people who are playing this game will. Most 99% of people are like, from what I've seen from the internet already, like, it looks good, but it's Ubisoft. It looks good, but it's Ubisoft. Where I'm like, yay, it's Ubisoft and other Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of the opposite.
Whereas I'm in the
else is thinking.
I'm in the best of both worlds because I love a good Ubisoft game and I love a good Star Wars game, and this strikes me that it might be both. So yeah, I'm hyped.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I'm with Kresh where I do agree that I felt like it did a good job of leading us in. This is probably the best showing of this game for me so far. Of like, okay, I can kind of already tell where this story is going, which is awesome. I'm fine with that. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of twists and turns along the way. And yeah, if they get the... I really hope they use this game as the new open world Ubisoft, if you know what I mean by that. Like, I hope they probably won't. I'm not saying they will. I mean, it will probably just be a Ubisoft open world game.
I'm going to say, technically, every Ubisoft open world game is the new Ubisoft open world game.
No, but it's the same exact same formula all of the time.
Yeah, to be fair with, not Star Wars, but Assassin's Creed Codename Red or whatever it is, there are rumors that that is going to be a new approach for open worlds within Ubisoft. So maybe this is sort of an extension of like the direction that's heading in, possibly.
Possibly. That's what I would hope for. I'd hope this would be the start of what is new to come from Ubi. You know, I'm not saying that. I don't think it's hard. I do think they need to change the formula because people are getting bored of it, and normally from a business perspective aspect, they have to change with the times. But for me and the way I like to play games, the way they set their games up are perfect for the way I like to enjoy games, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm a bit in column A, a bit in column B. But yeah, the trailer itself was impressive. The only thing I felt was off, which I think is always off in 99% of the games, is the eyes of the character models. As per usual, I still don't think they've nailed that. Which is always what throws me off in these type of games where you're looking for facial expressions and things like that, and then you look at the eyes and they're just dead behind the eyes in this character. But other than that, the world looked beautiful. You can see elements of the gameplay that they're teasing in this trailer especially. And yeah, really overall really enjoyed it.
I do like that there are some shots that are very clearly like gameplay shots, and it's not all just like CG shots, which made it feel like you are experiencing a portion of the game, as opposed to here's a CG trailer that we're going to sort of throw your way that's going to give you a sort of idea of what the game's about, but not really, because we're not that far off from the game now.
It's got a release date. Is August 30th? Yeah, 30th of August. You will get to play it early, 3 days early with the Gold or Ultimate Edition, which, you know, that will be kind of to be expected now. I assume you'll probably get to play it early as well with Ubisoft Plus.
Yes, you do.
Well, so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it's going to be good. That's the best way to say it. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I'm hoping it's going to change the formula. I'm hoping that everything that I love about Ubisoft games can get built upon. And not only that, they can make the right decisions and people will stop shitting on Ubisoft. Again, I'm not at Ubisoft at the moment. I'm not under contract or anything like that. But sometimes I do feel like they get a really raw end of the deal when it comes to certain elements. Sometimes it's brought upon themselves, quadruple A, and things like that, which is, it's hard, especially being on the inner workings of something like that, right? It's hard when one person says something and then that affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping they can deliver on their AAA experience here with Star Wars Outlaws, and we can all just enjoy it and celebrate it for the good game that it is, you know?
So yeah, no, like I say, I am super excited for this. If, like you say, if they do something different with the open world formula, I am going to be excited about that. But even if they don't, I still like the idea of an Assassin's Creed or technically a Ubisoft open world title, just with a Star Wars wrapper. That's still going to be great to me.
Fair enough. Next up, let's get into this week's dashboard, shall we? First up, president at Xbox president, I should say, Sarah Bond has set up a new team dedicated to game preservation and forward compatibility. This was taken from Windows Central, and the need to know bits here are, per emails received by Windows Central, confirmed by Microsoft as genuine, Xbox president Sarah Bond recently briefed her team on various topics, some of those obviously being, quote, the biggest technical leap ever in generations, which will be focusing on hardware. To go along with that, Sarah Bond has been talking about future-proofing our digital Xbox game libraries across future hardware to build on future Xbox strong history of delivering backwards compatibility. This is obviously stuff that I think can go unnoticed now. I think in today's generation of gaming, especially when you've got games like Fortnite and Rainbow and things like that are very much like cross progression, cross play, cross this, da 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 da. And obviously, Xbox have done such a great job with backwards compatibility that we sometimes forget that it's not a given that our next Xbox will be able to just do it all. So it's good that this has come out, in my opinion. It's good that Xbox are thinking for the future and beyond. And obviously, when it comes to digital, what's the word I'm looking for? Preservation. That's something that obviously I think most gamers are nervous about, right? That's why a lot of people don't want to go digitally. And obviously, some people just enjoy physical media, which there's nothing wrong with. I think you're crazy, but hey, you do you. I'm happy that these conversations are happening at least, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%. Go on, Chris.
I agree. I think the reassurance on we're looking for game preservation and we're trying to focus on that, because that was whenever they had done the thing a while ago where they were talking about the future of Xbox and we sort of had a lot of negative opinions around that. I think that was one of the big things. So to say like, that's what our focus is, and no matter where we go, that's kind of what I got from this, whether we're going to cloud or streaming, whatever it is, we are going to try and preserve as many of your game experiences as we can going forward, which I think is very reassuring for the platform, for people who want to stick to the ecosystem as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number one way they keep the audience that they currently have, right? Number one way is to The only way I think they keep their audience is by keeping people's libraries.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, yeah, preserving that digital library specifically. There's been, like, I think they got so many, like, they got their flowers for bringing 360 compatibility to Xbox One and then to Series S and X. And to not continue that would be, yeah, I think it'd be a big detriment to them. For me, especially because I am fully all digital pretty much nowadays, that, being able, knowing that the company that I'm putting my faith in and my money, more importantly, are actively going out of their way to help preserve that future is a good sign for me. Again, we've seen, like, we talked about the leaks on last week's episode about how there's going to be a possible digital Series X in the future. So it looks like they're obviously preparing to be able to say, we're looking at digital only platforms, but we're also going to be looking at preserving your future gaming and your past, as it were. And I think it's a smart move, because again, it can only be a good thing to say, yeah, all of your past purchases are still available, because we saw the negative outpouring when PlayStation didn't do it initially. I know, and they technically don't do it now still. Like, you can
it's interesting, right?
Like, PS Now does it.
I think you brought up a good point there, which is like, PlayStation technically doesn't do it now.
No.
But they're still in the lead.
Yeah.
And no one cares. So do people really care about this? Or is this just something that Xbox need to care about? Because Nintendo will not do this. No. They will still send you another Mario Kart 8 if they can. PlayStation won't do this. They'll still sell you another Last of Us if they can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does seem interesting that the team last place are the ones who are doing this the most.
I don't take this as a sign of not wanting to resell people games. Like, I don't think that's... I think this is much more for, like, the answering the concern of gamers, and it's very much a pro-gamer thing. It's not that they don't want to resell you stuff. It's the history and the preservation of older games and where that becomes really tricky. And it's not even necessarily like, hey, don't worry. Like, it's keeping the legacy of gaming alive, where that's kind of been on the rocks of where it'll go with digitally, and Xbox is at the forefront of streaming and stuff like that, where this becomes even a bigger question. So yeah, PlayStation doesn't talk about it, nor does Nintendo, but I don't think it's as big of a deal for them just yet to talk about it, at least from my point of view.
I gotta say, with if they start, like, again, we've talked about it in the past, and we've had news stories about, like, Phil kind of confirming it's coming this year. Like, when they start bundling in those digital libraries that you already own into things like xCloud and Game Pass, like, I think it'll be more prevalent that it's kind of a requirement to have these kind of things going forwards in a small way. So, yeah, so I think this is, like I say, nothing but a good thing, and I'm excited to see official announcements. Do you think we get them in the June showcase? Or do you think this will just be something that they save as a given when it comes to whatever the next major hardware refresh?
Yeah, I feel like it's a given. I don't think we'll get anything else.
Yeah, I don't know if this would be like a big enough announcement at a June showcase. Like, if they announce the hardware there, like, there'll be a line towards it, but I don't think it would ever be a focus for something like that. Maybe it'd be a focus for, like, one of the extra shows they do or something like that. I could see that being the case.
Yeah. You're right. I don't think it works as a standalone announcement. It definitely has to be by the side of, like, say, our next console lifecycle is going to be digital only, but every single game you've ever owned is going to be playable on it. That'll be the smarter announcement.
Oh, yeah, bro, I didn't even think of that. Them cutting physical
again
for the next console. I don't think they will, but, like, imagine that was the case.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You better hope they don't go first. They better hope PlayStation done it first. Let me tell you.
PlayStation come out like, we've got a disc drive. Uh-oh.
Game over. Game over. Literally. Game over. All right, next up, EA insists Iron Man game remains an important priority as developer motive joins Battlefield. This one was taken from IGN and written by Wesley Yin Paul. EA insists its Iron Man game is still in the works after adding developer motion on its list of own studios working on Battlefield's franchise. Motive Studios general manager Patrick Claus said, quote, a group of developers from Montreal-based Motive are joining Criterion, DICE, and Ripple Effect to continue unlocking the full potential of Battlefield. This group includes the director who worked on Motus 2023 Dead Space remake. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Philippe Deschamps,
thank you. Executive producer and Roman Campos Oriola, thank you. The pair will build a team to work on what's coming next for Battlefield. Meanwhile, work on Iron Man continues, closer than a blog post. In parallel, development continues to move forward on our Iron Man project, led by Olivia Prolox?
I'm not even going to try that one.
Yeah, nope. Cool. Well,
you nailed it.
And Ian Fraser, creative director, said Klaus. The team made excellent progress this year, hitting a major internal milestone and laying a robust foundation for the journey ahead. Iron Man remains an important priority for Motive, and I'm very proud of the work we've accomplished so far.
Cool.
I forgot they were doing the Iron Man game. I'm not going to let you. That's my biggest takeaway. I actually forgot, because they have come out and said that it was EA that come out and said that they're, no, it weren't. I think I've piled them in with whoever else I was thinking of, saying that they're not working on single player stuff. Right? Someone come out lately and said that.
That was Take-Two, Rocksteady, I think, wasn't it?
No, it can't be. They got GTA,
Warner.
Mate.
It was Warner. Sorry.
It was Warner. Yeah. You're right. Warner. It was Warner.
I was thinking who owns Rocksteady. It's not Take-Two. It's Warner Brothers. Yeah, or WB Games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very interesting. Yeah, I mean, they already had a very good, almost Iron Man game with Anthem.
Yeah.
So, Anthem was, I don't care what anybody says, that's one of those games that people say were bad that I really loved.
I
think the tune for Anthem's changed as of late. You see a lot more people like sort of reminiscing on it a lot better, especially because we've seen so many live service games come out and fail both on the being fun part and the actual gameplay loop, or at least Anthem was a fun game to play.
I think that's it. Anthem very much was a fun concept. Like the game, like the moment by moment gameplay was good, but for a live service game, the lack of actual decent loop just wasn't there. But the fact that I could say, like, give me all of that kind of gameplay elements and stick it in a single player Iron Man game. Yeah, I'm there for that. Like, I know people don't talk about it a lot, but like one of the best characters to play on the Avengers game was Iron Man. Just because it was fun to fly around as Iron Man firing off rockets.
God, I disagree with you on that one.
Okay, that's fine. You're allowed to have
people,
opinions.
Yeah, some people dislike the Iron Man.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
To be fair, I think that's a benefit to the Avengers game, that there were so many different characters that were playable differently. Mm-hmm. Just a small, like, pep up that game a little bit, you know?
Yeah. My other takeaway from this story is, oh yeah,
Battlefield.
Yeah, it's a game. Yeah. It exists. They do things with it.
No, but like, the thing is, I really want Battlefield to get back to where Battlefront 3 and Battlefront 4... for me, well, where I got into Battlefield. Thank you. That always makes them up. I would love for them to have a good Battlefield game again.
Yeah.
That is fun and has content and people are enjoying it again. Especially when you play that game with a squad, there is like something very, you're on ammo, you're on meds. All right, let's roll together. All right, I've got you on the revive. Boom, 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 boom. You're calling out, spotting. Like, Battlefield was one of those games I always said to Hayley she should play with us, and she's like, yeah, but I'm terrible at shooters. I'm like, yeah, but you can just be a spotter.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different roles within that game that if you're happy to play the role, you can actually help your team immensely.
Yeah. So I was like, back in the day, I was very much like Battlefield over COD always. And I can tell you the exact moment that I fell off Battlefield is when they released a version without C4. Because C4 was the most fun part of Battlefield. Just attach C4 to a tank, fire it across the map, and then let shoot enemies as you're flying in a tank. You know, that was the best part of Battlefield, is the insanity that you could get up to. Like, we've all seen the clip of the guy jumping out of a plane, shooting off a rocket and jumping back in his plane. You don't get that in Call of Duty. You don't get that in really any other shooter these days. And
It feels like everyone caught up to Battlefield, though, right? Because I remember Battlefield's big thing obviously being destruction and stuff like that, and this like we kind of expect that in a lot of games nowadays, and see it in a lot of games nowadays as well. It just slowly, the last Battlefield just wasn't it. They tried so much with like this creation thing and this, that, and the other, and it just was like, no.
I think Battlefield, instead of staying in a comfortable spot and like really refining what they created, just kept trying to go bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you'd sort of see like, this part's not really up to par. Or, like, there's just something missing from the mix constantly. And I feel like it just got worse and worse up until like the last Battlefield game, where they never really were like, this is what Battlefield is. And we're going to like sort of make it a bit smaller, and not smaller in terms of like, because comparatively to other games, smaller for Battlefield is still bigger than most games. We're going to make it smaller in terms of Battlefield and sort of refine that experience. I think that's what they needed to do. And hopefully with whatever they do, that is where they go forward. But I am curious if whether Battlefield really has a seat at the table as far as multiplayer shooters go anymore.
I think
it definitely does. It definitely does. I definitely think, I don't know, it will never be as big as what it was. And I think that's what's upsetting to me, but it definitely has a seat.
Mm-hmm. No, we're talking about Lineage 100% a seat, but I'm talking about like, if you look at Battlefield going forward, like I think it does need to compete with Call of Duty for it to have a seat in terms of EA. I'm not talking about in terms of player base or whatever. Because like, with what that franchise is, if you go from being a top 10 franchise to being a top 20 franchise, or a top 5 franchise to being a top 20 franchise, you've fallen off no matter what, right? Yeah. And that might be like, maybe it's time to put Battlefield away for them, even if it's incredibly successful, because it's not as successful as the amount of effort or marketing or whatever else they put into that game.
I think it seems like that's not what they're doing though, right? With this news, if they're moving more people onto that IP, like they definitely aren't giving up.
Yeah. Hopefully.
The major thing for me is definitely, and I think it's an issue that they've had the last couple of iterations of it, is they need to release the next Battlefield feature complete.
Yes.
The last one had like missing modes, like cross progression and cross play didn't work that great. And there was very much a disconnect between it. And yeah, I just think there was a lot of modes that weren't there at launch that they said was coming, and then they pulled them back. And I think they'd launched on the back foot, and I think they need to be ready. And I think it feels like, when was the last Battlefield out now? It's been a few years now, right?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. It would have been 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I feel like.
So I'm hoping that these last couple of years they've been able to like look back and be like, all right, we need to be like launching with a feature complete game that ticks all the boxes that everyone expects from a Battlefield, like these massive destructible environments, massive, you know, squad based combat. And I feel the problem that I had last year, specifically with the last game, was that the different classes didn't really seem to matter. You could really mix and match each class, and it watered them down, and it really got in the way of like building a proper squad together, which is what I think is the benchmark of a Battlefield game. So I'm hoping that they do go back to that.
Yeah, 2047 came out in 2021, by the way, so it was 3 years ago. And it's just celebrating its 7th season, which is its last season in production. Which that news just dropped today, actually. But again, very, very interesting. I'm hopeful that this will be the next. I'm hoping they can do well with it. I'm not holding my breath for that, but I'm hoping they will. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Bring back C4. That's all I ask.
C4 was in this game. Yes, it was. You didn't play the game enough then. Yes, C4 was definitely in this game. What you literally want to do has been in this game since day one.
Okay.
So.
Damn it, I'm going to go back and play Battlefield. I didn't play enough.
No. Next up, Gearbox has bought Take-Two. I know this is a couple of weeks old now, but Gearbox has bought... No. Take Two has bought Gearbox. I don't know why that's written that way. Who's done it's me over there?
Gearbox bought by Take Two.
Look, yeah, you know I'm dyslexic. Shut the fuck up. Moving on. Joining forces with Take Two Interactive. 2K will help Gearbox ascend to our next level. Take Two and 2K have demonstrated repeatedly their commitment to our engine of generating creative happiness and profit. We set the bar for interactive entertainment and achieve remarkable results with groundbreaking record-setting games when we work together at arm's length as partners. I'm incredibly excited about what we can do and accomplish now that we are fully aligned as one. The sale went through at $460 million. That is $460 million, meaning that's the biggest IP that you guys care about probably Borderlands, which is now owned officially by Take-Two. They've always been published by anyway, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So yeah, kind of makes sense. I'm sure Randy made a load of money out of this, didn't he?
I bet, yeah. Like the shares he probably got. Like pay off on this.
I have a question. How many magic tricks do you think he was performing?
Oh, at least four. The office that night, he was just going for it. It was like, let me
pick a card. You get a card. Here's a bunny and a heart. Go for it. Yeah, yeah.
How much IP does Gearbox own, other than
I'm looking at it right now, or a list of the stuff they've put out. They put out Borderlands. They made Duke Nukem. Do they own?
They must own the Duke Nukem series, yeah.
Brothers in Arms.
Okay.
There's Half-Life stuff here, but they don't own Half-Life.
No.
Risk of Rain.
Own Risk of Rain? They did a lot of Alien stuff, which would have been... they don't own the Aliens IP, so that's not really important. Homeworld.
Bloodborne, yeah.
Yeah, it's... To me, it's a lot of money for Borderlands, if I'm looking at it that way, like, right?
They own Battleborn, guys.
I mean, yeah,
successful, successful Battleborns. That's where the money. Yeah, I do think the number's a little high from what they own, but I would imagine it's all off of the Borderlands IP and like the with proper like marketing in terms of TV shows and movies. I imagine partly is like they see a big return in the movie department as well.
I don't like what I see from the film, I think the film's actually gonna do pretty well.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It's an interesting one. It really is an interesting one. I saw this news and I was like, okay, I'm interested to see what they do. I'm interested in the next Borderlands. Again, I'm a big Borderlands fan. I've been a big Borderlands fan for a while now. The last game didn't hold me nowhere near as much as the first two did. And Tiny Tina I didn't touch properly at all. I think I did like the first three or four missions on that, and then did, which is crazy considering how much I love that DLC. I'm hoping they can breathe life into Borderlands and change it up. A little bit like what we said about Ubi, right? I feel like Borderlands still feels like a game from the 360 generation.
Yeah.
For everything that is good about that and everything that is bad about that. Yeah. I wonder if we'll see them move with the times.
Yeah, the thing is, will they though? Like, I don't think this, like, being, like, part of Take-Two now, I don't think that's going to, like, change how they develop games so much. Maybe it should, you know, the profit margins go somewhere else now. That's about it.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if we put it in here, but I do remember seeing that they did announce some layoffs as well as part of this, which isn't great. But
to be expected.
Crossover happens. Yeah.
To me, this is what happens when companies merge. Mm-hmm. You don't need two sets of everything when you already have one set there that does it successfully. Unfortunately, that's just
true. It's true.
That is just how it goes. And yeah, it sucks. That doesn't make it right or fair, but that is the world of being bought out, right?
And it's just business. Yeah.
It is business as we know it, unfortunately. Next up, Dead Cells developer to release a new Prince of Persia game in Steam Early Access. Ubisoft is set to release its Prince of Persia game, its next Prince of Persia game, later this year on Steam. Developed by Dead Cells developer Evil Empire, the game The Rogue Prince of Persia will launch early access on Steam and mark Ubisoft's first day one game on Steam since 2019. That's literally what I took from that, which I'm like, again, that's someone who used to work with Ubi. That's all I used to get was, is this on Steam? Is this on Steam? Is this on Steam? Is this on Steam? So
now you can finally say crazy. Yes.
Well, I can't. I don't work for them anymore. But this is interesting. This is very, very, very interesting. And
Do you think this is telling of like Ubisoft will be going more towards Steam, or it's like a one-off because it's early access?
One-off because it's early access. Their systems at the moment for Ubi Plus and all that stuff are clearly not built for early access. They know that the Dead Cells team, Evil Empire, have built successful games in early access on Steam. Like, why mess with that? And I bet that was a non-negotiable for Evil Empire as well. They're like, hey, we want to do this. We think your IP is really cool. We think we can make something really cool out of this, but we want to do this our way. And our way is early access, listening to our community and building off of that. We can't do that within the infrastructure in which you have built.
Yeah, I think, like you say, I think it doesn't make sense to put... As a market, I don't know why I always go to marketing, like I work in marketing or something. I don't, but something about it feels weird to put a early access game in Ubisoft Plus when that is very much marketed as this is the premium place to play all our full price AAA games, where this is coming across as like we're giving our IP to a third party and they're going to do an early access version of that. And it makes total sense to have that go to something like Steam rather than it being part of the Ubisoft Connect or anything like that. I'm excited for this. Like, I love Prince of Persia Lost Crown. I think everyone should play that game. And
top five game this year.
Yeah.
I've only beat two games this year.
I'd be maybe six. I don't know. I'd say it's still top five. And yeah, I'd love to see what somebody else does with that IP. And I think Dead Cells as a Metroidvania that they have is a perfect example of someone who could do something amazing with that IP. So yeah, I'm very excited to see what they do. I'm wondering if this is kind of like, it kind of gives me like similar vibes to how Hades hit. Like maybe when this first drops in that early access, it'll build that swell. And these are the kind of things that get people hyped for a Prince of Persia game again.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem with Prince of Persia is it didn't sell well the newest game, right?
Which is
a shame.
Did it sell well for like what you would expect a Ubisoft game, or did it sell well for what you would expect a Metroidvania type game?
It didn't sell well.
That's what I'm saying. But like, are you viewing it as like just a Ubisoft game? Like you're putting it in comparison with like the Avatar games or the games of this genre?
I'm not to be expecting what came out from news from people saying it didn't sell well from Ubisoft's point of view, right?
Yeah, I'm it's not my personal opinion. It's Ubisoft's.
Yeah.
Ubisoft came out and said
marketing projections. Love that word, marketing. Ooh.
Marketing. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for something like this. Again, I'm not the biggest, into roguelikes. I'm not the biggest into this genre. But like you said, I did enjoy the last Prince of Persia. So just that alone will get me to play this. Will it stick? Probably not. I'm not a big fan of early access in these type of games. When my mind goes to early access, it goes to games like Rust and DayZ and things like that. And for some reason, when it's out of those genres, which makes no sense, by the way, but when it's out of those genres, I tend to not put a lot of time into them. Strangely, don't ask me why, but that's just where my head goes to.
Yeah, I think these kind of genres are a bit different for me, a bit weird to be in early access, because you kind of expect like a start, a middle, and an end. And typically with early access titles, you don't get that. You get like the first major areas and things like that. So I don't know. I'm interested. Like, this would be maybe one that I would pick up at the beginning, try it out to start with, and then be like, okay, cool. I like the concept. I'll wait for full release.
Yeah, that's what I did with the original Dead Cells when that came out. I played it in the beginning when it came out, and I was like, this is cool. And I stepped away, and then I went back when it was done and saw all the upgrades and everything they fixed. And it's one of, if not my favorite roguelike game. I'm trying to think if I like it more than I like Hades, which I know is not a popular opinion. Most people prefer Hades. So I'm very, very excited for this. I'm looking forward to what they'll do and how it'll compare to the latest Prince of Persia game, which I would imagine there's not going to be a lot of overlap in terms of gameplay, to be honest, right?
Yeah, no. Have you played the new Prince of Persia game yet?
Yeah, I played it. I didn't beat it, but I played it.
How many games you beat this year?
I didn't beat it, but I played it.
Answer the question.
How many games you beat this year?
I didn't beat it, but I played it.
How many games have you beat this year?
I didn't beat it, but I played it.
Okay.
I'm guessing that's a big fat goose egg.
Zero. Big fat zero.
I didn't beat it, but I played it. I don't know what you guys don't get about that.
Hey, no, I get what he's trying to say. I know what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
But it ain't going to help him.
I actually don't know what you think I'm trying to say.
But don't worry about it. Moving on. Destiny 2 Final Shape developer gameplay preview has just come out. We all watched the trailer. Crash, take it from there.
Yeah. So they did you guys watched the 2-minute trailer. They had a 20-minute-ish video that they showed off some of the gameplay stuff coming into Final Shape. They showed off new enemies, one brand new subclass, new exotic, which is a class item, which normally the exotics are armor pieces and not class items. And then they also said that there's more Destiny to come after Final Shape, and they'll talk about it once the Witness is beaten. So basically, probably soon after the Final Shape's release, they'll be talking about the future of Destiny past that point.
Destiny 3, baby! Hurry up!
Let's go!
Honestly, it sounded like there might be either Destiny 3 or they're going somewhere else with Destiny afterwards. After Destiny 2, possibly.
Destiny 3, you get me back. Destiny, anything else, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I think that's my problem with Destiny, and now it's like there is so much lore to try and get my head around. I'm just like, do I put the effort in? Is Final Shape the point to do it? Because I've missed like every season since the Witness turned up. And it's just like, have I missed too much at this point?
I don't think you've missed that much. Did you play it? You didn't play the Lightfall, right?
No, I don't think I did that one.
Yeah, so you'd be missing just like a year's worth of stuff, which I don't think is too much, but I don't know.
Can you just tell me the story? Can you just tell me what's happening?
There's YouTube for that.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't mean right now.
I could turn this into like a 5-hour podcast where I just explain the Destiny.
The Destiny 2 lore cast. Let's go.
this got me very excited for Final Shape because I haven't played Destiny in a very long time. And I literally had a thought about like a week ago or 2 weeks ago where I was like, I don't know if I really care for Destiny anymore. And I don't know if I care for Final Shape at this point and whether I'd be playing it at all. And then this comes out and the new subclass, which is, they're calling it the Prism subclass, where you combine different elements of the light subclasses and the dark subclasses, and all that looks really, really cool, especially for like theory crafting builds and stuff like that. The new exotic, the class items, lets you... It's a randomized, so you will have to farm it, I think. I don't know exactly how that works, but it is randomized rolls on it, and so you can get exotic perks from other exotics, and I think there's some new and unique perks to it as well. So there's a lot of cool stuff in terms of building and the way you'll be playing and interacting on top of a completely new enemy faction, which Destiny hasn't gotten since Forsaken, if you want to count them as new enemies, even though I think they're technically... You could basically argue that they're not new enemies.
Yeah, fancy reskins with some dark abilities.
Yeah, so this is the first time they've actually given us a brand new enemy type, which I think a lot of the stuff is shaping up to be a good final experience. I don't know if I'll stick with Destiny after that, though. Only time will tell.
Time will tell indeed, Crash. Next up, last but not least, I guess this week, new Ubisoft Forward date is confirmed. You probably already know about this, but June 10th, there will be a Ubisoft Forward happening in Los Angeles. I'm excited. I hope they, you know, Ubi, if you want to send me, I'm happy to go. I'd love to go, you know, Ubi? Yubi?
Yubi? Hello?
Yubi?
I reckon carries bags.
If the My Xbox and Me community tags at Ubisoft underscore UK, I think it is, saying, hey, you should send MC Fixer to hashtag Ubi forward, I reckon I've got more chance of going. So if you like me and like what I do, feel free to go do that for me, because they will go, why is everyone, if, especially if there's a large volume of it, I reckon there'll be enough people that go, why is everyone tagging us in this? Why is Fixer's audience being like, do this? So if you like me and you like what I do, hit up Ubisoft and tell them to send me to Ubi Forward. All right. Please and thank you. At MC Fixer as well. Hashtag. Hit me.
Do
it. We'll do hashtag Ubi Forward. We can give them, we'll give them their hashtag, but we'll do at MC
Fixer. Got it. Okay.
Ubi, at Ubisoft UK. Hey, hashtag. At Ubisoft UK. Don't at them first, because otherwise it doesn't go through. So it's like, hey, Ubisoft Forward. You should send MC Fixer to hashtag Ubi Forward. Think he would be a great addition on blah, blah, blah. Bye. Yeah, don't say bye. It's just weird in tweets. But you know what I mean.
You should definitely say bye.
Okay, bye.
Say bye.
Say bye.
Thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yours sincerely.
Warmest regards.
Attach a picture of your signature to it at the bottom.
Yes, definitely put your signature on the internet. That's a really smart idea.
Very smart. Boys, let's jump into Guess That Game. I have got a game for you guys this week. What you need to do is ask me yes and no questions. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. I've seen that we've been a little bit flippant. I've seen the community has been a bit like, hey, guys, stop with the has puzzle elements. So I'm basing this off of what I see in front of me in on Wikipedia. So if it isn't here, I'm sorry. How did you do that quick search thing, by the way? What is F4?
Control F.
Control F, yeah, all right, perfect. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'm ready to control F, anything that I might need to. Okay. And, I've got a minute and 30 on the clock for you guys. Are you ready? Chris, you'll go first.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Next one, are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
360 game?
Yes.
Exclusive?
Yes. No.
What did Despawn ask?
Is it exclusive?
Capcom?
No.
Ubisoft?
No.
EA?
Yes.
First person shooter?
No.
Third person shooter?
No.
Single player only?
Yes.
Third person game?
No.
2D game?
No.
First person game?
No. It's. Up I guess down? It is third person. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, what was that?
It's third person. It's okay. Top down. It's a top down.
Top down. Okay. Top down, EA. Did we say multiplayer?
I think he said single player focus.
Single player only. Okay.
Puzzle? Genre's just.
Is it a puzzle game?
No.
RPG?
No.
Action adventure?
Yes. I guess so. Yes.
It's a puzzle game. Time.
Yeah, no clue. 360 EA top down.
Top down EA title that came out on the 360, he says.
This is a time where EA did actually do like a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah, it is some weird shit. Oh no, he's thought of it.
RPG?
I guess so.
I got it.
I don't got it.
I don't know if I got it, but I got it. I think I got it.
That's the best I can give you is I guess so.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I think I get it. I don't know if I get it. There's two games that come to mind, but I think I get it.
Yeah. I'm going to say one, and I don't think it's the right one, but we'll give it a go. Shall I say mine first? Because
I have mine written down.
All right, I've just got my hands in the air. I was going to say, is it Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic?
No.
Okay.
Sims.
Is the Sims!
Okay. Yeah.
Congratulations, Craig.
Yeah.
I thought you, as soon as you got top down, I was like, oh, okay, they've got this. It's between.
I had to really think of the generation where it came out, because I'm like, I'm thinking of EA as of today, and I was like struggling a little bit. And I was like, 360 generation. They did stuff like Spore in the 360 generation.
Oh, yeah,
that's where my mind went first. But I'm like, that's fix what is that third person.
It's hard because the generation is really hard, because realistically, like, they had a Sims game on 360, but, you know, I don't know. It's a hard one, but The Sims was exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, my problem is always like, because in the past, we were always like, 9 times out of 10, the game is always something to do with what we were talking about during the episode.
No, so I was like, if you're bad at this, it is true.
Yeah, true.
If you're bad at this. If you're prepared, then it's not true.
Yeah, well, preparation, what? But yeah, so I was like, we talked about Star Wars quite a bit.
It's got to be a Star Wars, but it's fixed. Yeah. Fixed will never pick a Star Wars game.
I mean, it depends what you search on. I'm going to say, yeah.
If I was flapping, what did you make of the RPG? Like,
I think it fits. I think that's easier to say RPG. Yeah.
I mean, you role play as a, you know,
it's role playing. You are leveling up. Mm-hmm. You do.
You don't role play as anybody. You're God.
Yeah, you're role playing as God.
It depends how you play that.
As a murderous, vengeful God
who
murders people in pools.
Fair enough. Well, the points sit like this. Crash is at 6 points, Matt is at 2 points, Despawn is at 3 points, and I am at 2 points. Crash is... Jesus.
I'm making up for last year.
You're making up for last year, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay, didn't we try hard, but sure. Yeah. This show is to fix this sack. Remember, you can email in my Xbox and me podcast at gmail.com. Also join the Discord. You can ask questions in there. You can also hit us up on our YouTube channels and our social medias at my Xbox and me. Only a couple of questions this week. First one is from Chris Nelson, who says, a spin on a common one. If Xbox made their own Smash Bros. Clone, who would be your main and who would be the most annoying character to fight? I will run with the most annoying character to fight, because we've already do the main Smash character all the time. The most annoying character to fight, if it was made by Xbox. Interesting. I don't know. You got anyone that comes to mind that would just be able to spam attack something?
I think
Arbiter or something like that.
I was going to say General Ram, just because of the hitbox. I think it's being an annoying one to fight.
But not to play against.
Yeah, no, it'd be annoying to play as, because, that would be like, just anyone can hit you from anywhere because you're like twice the size of everyone.
It's so big.
Either that or you get like extra, you're like the Donkey Kong of Xbox Smash. You just got like really strong, powerful attacks.
Be slow.
Yeah, be slow. I mean,
That's how he is in Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
Well, really slow?
Yeah, he's slower than other characters, but he can hit really hard. And yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah, I'd have to go with like some character that can keep away really easily. So like an Arbiter or even a Master Chief, possibly, depending on how they do that. They can spam attacks from that far.
Yeah, I think Arbiter with a invisibility cloak, just constantly going invisible all the time. Would be really annoying.
Yeah.
No, Minecraft Steve. And he's just putting blocks up the whole time. Every time you try and attack him, he puts a block up.
I mean, he's in Smash. He's not that hard.
Version of that. And isn't he a trophy in Smash?
No, he's actually
he's a character. He's a character, but he's almost always banned, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there you go. I might be right then.
He's overpowered, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Minecraft Steve would be my answer. Thank you, Chris. Also, welcome to the Discord. We saw you join the other day, so congrats. Welcome for joining. Next one is from Origin Cookie Man, who says, in my humble opinion, Xbox are already on their way to improving their offering with Game Pass as a foundation and increasing release cadence of one first-party title. If you had to predict when the public and media perception of the brand shift to most positively, will it be after the release of Hellblade 2, after their Summer Showcase 2024, after the release of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, after they win a Game of the Year award, after the release of COD or after Hollow Knight Silksong comes to Game Pass day one? Ooh, good question.
Can I put my little negative hat for this one? I don't think any of these are going to do it.
I agree.
I think the only thing that's going to do it is PlayStation massively slip up on the next gen announcements in comparison to what Xbox offer.
I think it's too far gone now.
Yeah, but I think it's the only thing that's ever going to be like, if PlayStation come out and it's like nothing but anti-consumer options, then... Yeah, that's it. If Xbox come out and say, yeah, all of your backwards compatible games are available day one, we are the cheaper version, we're the most powerful version, and we've got all of these exclusive lineups for you that, you know, beat whatever PlayStation offer, which I don't think is going to happen, but like that's the only thing I think at this point. Like, I think the... I hate to say it, but I think the
car popular... Let's not change the question. Let's answer the question.
Okay.
The question isn't like... I think for me, like, the question isn't like, will Xbox surpass PlayStation, right?
When will the media turn mostly more positive? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you have to be better than PlayStation for it to switch to mostly positive, right?
No. Okay.
I don't think anything listed there is going to be the driving point to do that, right? I think winning Game of the Year is still like doesn't really
winning Game of the Year means nothing. I'm sorry to tell you, like ultimately it actually doesn't. Jeff Keighley's do not mean everything to everybody. Yes, they mean a lot to our little circle of super nerds.
You have to remember how many people
of the super nerds don't care about the Game Awards. Yeah. So
well, we all saw the fallout from Wrap It Up Gate, as it were.
And
then Hellblade 2, I don't think that the release of that, I think there's going to be fans that are going to be, I have this really like bad feeling about people still expecting more out of that game than what they're going to get with that game. Yeah. And it having a negative reception, even if it is a really good game, even amongst like Xbox fans themselves, because it's not going to be what they wanted.
Did you see there's an article or something that come out about the devs saying like, yeah, people want shorter games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, interesting timing to say that, which I 100% agree with, but interesting to say that when you've got Hellblade 2 coming out and everyone seems to be laying their hat down on this being the game that changes the way people perceive Xbox first party. So, and I think that could be used as a negative in the fanboy wars, especially of like, oh yeah, you got this great game, but it lasts 4 hours. Like, I know it's going to be longer than that, but you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh God, I don't know. I'm worried. I'm still worried.
Yeah. I think ultimately like the issue with the list is that to change perception, it isn't a one off thing. It's not just one thing. I think if everything on this list happens and it's all successful, I think then maybe you can talk about once you get to the end of the list.
Then
maybe. But it does have to be a body of work and not one singular work. Yeah. It's not one singular event that does it.
Yeah, I think if you get through this entire list and knock off everything here, like as a 10 out of 10, not like say like review scores, but like, you know, everything lands as well as they want it to, and they have no slip ups, I still don't see it being enough because, again, the core of popular opinion is basically everyone's trying to bury Xbox at this point.
I think the one that has the most potential here to fall most positively is the showcase. And the reason I say that is because I don't think I'm a well-in-tune Xbox fan at this point, right? And I'm not even excited for the showcase. So if they can do something at the showcase that then goes, we've got this, 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 and this in the works, you know, State of Decay 3 gets shown and it's what I'm expecting it to be. They show more Fable and that's got a release date and it's what I'm expecting it to be. Because as much as we've seen Fable, we haven't really seen Fable yet. Like, gameplay-wise, we haven't seen what we're getting. So if you hit those two out of the park for me, you know, and then amongst a bunch of other stuff, I think the showcase is the thing that can have the most positive brand transformation, because and we know what's coming in the future as well, but we need that future to be quite soon, if we're being honest. It needs to be the next 2 years, I would say, of really important for this showcase itself. But
I think my big question to you, I don't think it really relies on this question or relates to this question too much, but obviously you're saying like obviously you want the next 2 years to be kind of, not spelled out, but, you know, kind of hinted at what's coming. Like,
yeah.
Do you think the next 2 years are the last 2 years of the series life cycle?
No, I think you've probably got 3 years.
I think a good 3 years.
Oh. Yeah. I could be wrong. But
when did the series come out?
I want to say... I'm just throwing 2020 out there, and I don't think that's right, but...
No, 2019?
2020.
2020?
2020. Yeah, 2020. At the end of 2020.
Yeah, 4 years. There's only 4 years.
Yeah, I think we got it.
I found Xbox... not Xbox, sorry. I found PlayStation's statement to be weird. That, like, oh, we're midway through this life cycle. We're drumming down. We're slowing down. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, I've enjoyed what I've played on my PlayStation, but... Yeah. Not enough what's for you the, to be like, oh, that's it.
We're coming to an end. Yeah. What's been the shortest gaming generation? Because that would be like, if you're halfway, you're like at a 60-year mark for the gaming generation.
Yeah. PS1 to PS2. So Xbox, because it'd be Xbox to Xbox 360, because the Xbox 360 came a year before the PS3.
Right.
Right? So... when did the original Xbox drop? I don't know that date. Sorry, I'm not good with my history like that. And then when did the 360 drop?
Good. I can find out. I'm just looking at the moment. I can see the PlayStation, I think it was 91.
Yeah. No.
Wait.
91?
94, sorry.
I was going to say, Japan. No way.
And then the PS2 was 2000, so that was 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. So then this could just be a short video game year. Cycle generation.
I think we talk about it a lot. I think COVID had a massive impact on how this life cycle's gone, because there was such a stunt on the industry for a lot of people. I think with shortages across the board as well in electronics. I think it's just been I don't think it's dragged it out a little bit, but I think it's made it harder for people to get that steam behind them. And not the Steam marketplace.
No disrespect, I disagree, because I feel like when the way we look at COVID is like it needs to be looked at both ways, right? It also drummed up interest that we overhired so much that we've had all these layoffs, profit margins through the roof. You know, more gamers, more people downloading games, more people playing games. Like, it's not only now we're out of COVID, which don't know how that happened, no one told me, but like now we sit there and go, oh yeah, COVID, the COVID boom was that's why things are slowing down. It's like, no, like we're back to being normal. We're still bigger than film. We're still bigger than TV put together. Like we didn't all of a sudden just fall off a cliff. It's just not as crazy as it was during COVID. Hence why we're seeing all these companies pivot. And that's why all the mistakes have been made, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think the generation talk isn't necessarily even a consumer question. I think it's more of a hardware question and like what goes on behind the scenes for making games. So I would imagine like the relevance of cloud and streaming and stuff like that becoming more and more relevant. I would imagine that sort of affects the trajectory of next generation as well.
Yeah. Also, to answer the earlier question, Xbox to 360 was 2001 to 2005.
There you go.
Second 4 years.
I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't know my history. I don't know my dates, but I know my history.
And then it was 2013 for the Xbox One. So that was, I think, the 360.
Oh, the 360 generation was huge. Yeah. It was so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got all those reworks. You got so many different consoles in that. You went from the core Xbox to the Elite, and then from the Elite to the Slim, and then they did the V2 Slim, and that generation just went on and on and on and on. And that's why eventually PlayStation caught up with Xbox as well, because Xbox was dominating like crazy for a while there. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, we've kind of gone off topic here from the question, and I do apologize for that. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think Xbox are in a better place than they were.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for that. I'm wrong, but I am still waiting for that exclusive that's like gonna blow me away. It still hasn't come on the series consoles.
Gears of War.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Gears of War. Yeah. I'm hoping Fable. State of Decay. I'm hoping Fable. Like those are the three games that when they did that announcement for the console, when they did that and you know what I'm talking about, when they did all those trailers, the concept. Mm-hmm. And CGI trailers where I was like, oh, Xbox is back. And then like I'm sat here 4 years later, like,
Xbox is getting here.
It's coming.
You'll get here eventually. It's
coming. Xbox missed the bus. They're on the next one, I promise.
Yeah, no. So it's an interesting time to be an Xbox gamer. Not a bad time, just an interesting time. No.
Yeah. And I think the final thing on that is, like, I know we talk about it a lot, and obviously it's a big part of this podcast, but I'm not too worried about the public perception and the media perception specifically, because as long as they keep hitting what I want from Xbox, I'm going to be happy.
Fair enough. Let's plug and get us all out of here. Crash, what are you going to plug this week?
Quick reminder, 27th this month, we have a 12-hour stream starting 12 p.m. your guys' time, UK time.
BST,
and then 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you guys are on the East Coast, and then if you guys are on the West Coast, it'll be 3 hours earlier than that, so 4 a.m. for you guys. Yeah, different time. It'll be
Set
a different alarm. Time. Who knows when?
Set alarm.
We have a lot of stuff planned for that day. Follow us on Twitch and YouTube. We'll be live on both platforms that day as well. Yep. If you want to come by and support us.
Definitely do it. Do it. D-Spum.
I'm going to tell you to go check out the Twitter/X /MyXboxAndMe to keep an eye out for all the details of the live stream on there, and just in general, keep an eye out on when we're going live. We just went live yesterday as of recording with our latest episode of the Mind D&D and Me, where we played some more Baldur's Gate, which, as per usual, absolutely unhinged behavior, and I love it. And yeah, good. Just keep an eye out on the socials. Yeah, so Twitter, TikTok as well. We're trying to post a lot more stuff on there as well. Go show that some love. And yeah.
Yeah, definitely go check out the Patreon, patreon.com/mcfixer. Still, like I said, the 12-hour stream is all because of that, but we are drumming up funds to try and do some really cool things. We've got a lot of shows planned, which we'll talk to you all about on the 27th. Forfeits, and just come out, hang out, have a good time. We got a bunch of games that we want to play, so yeah, should be a good time. So until next time, we will love you, leave you, and see you later. Goodbye.